Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner today, Tom Withers, in for Andy Baskin. And we're talking extensively about what happened last night at Rocket Arena as the Cavaliers played a great game. They had great effort. They did a really nice job under really tough circumstances. Down 1-0, you lost game one at home. Indiana really had you in game one. You're down three key players, three of your top six guys last night, and you had that game won.
Until you didn't. Jeff, you've been in Cleveland your whole life. Where does that loss rank? You put it with the shot? Like, it doesn't belong on that tier, does it?
No, but it was...
It was a bad one.
Well, the thing about it, Tom, that I thought was especially tough was I expected them to come out and answer the bell, to use a boxing little cliche there. I thought they would. I thought they'd come out and play really well, and they did. And I thought they would win the game. And I thought they had the game won. And then 8-0 run in 47 seconds.
Yeah.
And that took care of it. Indiana has done it before, but who scores eight points in 47 seconds? And heck, you didn't even have the ball. You know, they had to get the ball.
It was Murphy's Law, wasn't it? Everything that could go wrong did go wrong on the final stretch.
You said it earlier, Tom. You needed one thing in that 47 seconds to go your way, and not one of them did.
Yeah, it's still a head-scratcher on so many levels. And I know, you know, unfortunately, too, if they're unable to get it done, this is the one we're going to look back on, and it's going to, you know, listen, you mentioned Sam Presti before, who, you know, has done a great job at Oklahoma City. Kobe Altman deserves a lot of credit for the construction of this roster. He's done a really nice job of putting this together. You hate to think, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but you got to, like, at least
think about it
a little bit. I mean, how much things could change if, you know, you don't get beyond this round.
And, Tom, this is the league where they trade superstars every year. Every year, superstars get traded.
Yeah, and you had one of the biggest trades in the history of the game happen just this past season. So
in season.
Yeah, a lot can happen. I don't know. Do you want to talk about getting a win in game three?
How do you do it? How do you win game three?
Well, you get everybody rested up and get all three guys back in.
No practice today. They're going to rest.
Yeah, we've talked about this. The Garland situation is the one that's a little bit – not mystifying. I mean, the guy is obviously hurt. As I mentioned before, I did see him running on the treadmill yesterday, which gave me encouragement to think that he was at least going to give it, you know, the old college try.
Yeah.
And obviously, because he was unable to go, he was not, you know, he deemed himself unfit and unready and, you know, incapable of playing at the level that he needed to for them to beat the Indiana Pacers. Now you hope two more days rest does the trick, right? And you get him out there. And I think they're in an entirely different situation with Darius back. I'm not counting on Mobley being back only because ankles are ankles. Hunter, I think, will probably be able to give it a go at some point here.
With what might be a really taped up.
Exactly, hand. Which I thought we would see last night. I thought they would just, you know, basically put a glove on him and send him out there. But
and Tom, he could help you defensively if he can't hit his three.
100%. So then, you know, then it becomes, you know, I mean, it's easy if you get one or two of those guys back, right? Not easy, but obviously a lot more doable.
There's a better path, certainly.
Right, yeah. Right. So now then you're going to have to count on the Pacers not playing the kind of game that they're capable of playing at home, which is like to another level,
you mean
right?
Like they played last night.
Like, yeah.
That they did not look like the same team until fourth quarter, really.
No, you're right.
That they look like in game one.
You're right. And you know what? And this goes back to, I mean, they came into the series battle-tested, right? They played a very tough five games against an undermanned Milwaukee team.
And but, think about last year. They beat Milwaukee and they beat New York.
New York, yeah. And I think a lot of people forgot that this was a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? I mean, I think your casual NBA fan tends to forget that as you get into the series. I don't think it's helped, you know, the narrative or the mindset of Cleveland fans that the Cavs have been heavy favorites in games one and two. I still couldn't figure that out. 8.5 and 9-point favorites by the Vegas lines. And yeah. I don't usually...
Last night made no sense.
I don't necessarily put too much stock into it, but it's a little bit puzzling. So, you know, I think if you're Kenny Atkinson, you take a look at, you know, what are my options? Okay, if I don't have those three guys again, it's to what we talked about earlier, which is that to get Jared Allen some more touches in any way you can. It's to get Ty Jerome's confidence back, and I don't know if that's now leaving him in the starting lineup, which I would hesitate to do given what he did in game two, or have him come back off the bench again, which is his natural role.
He thrived in.
He thrived in. I thought that was a nice point that Spiro made before, which is that, you know, guys are used to that role, and suddenly if they're in a different end of the pool in the playoffs, doesn't necessarily equate to good performances.
I think, as we know, there are a lot of different ways to win a basketball game. And, you know, we've seen the Cavs in the past, LeBron and whoever, and LeBron carries you there. Donovan certainly carried the Cavs last night. I don't think the recipe to win game three is to have Donovan Mitchell take 30 shots and have to score 48 points. But if the other guys aren't in there, I don't know a whole lot better recipe, because you had Max Strus score 23 last night. Max was outstanding. And Jared Allen, though he didn't take... I mean, Jared scored 22 points on 9 shots and got to the free throw line 8 times and made them all. You know, I don't think you can get a better game out of Jared unless you give him the ball a significantly more amount of time.
Or Max, like you said. This is where I think...
Right, you're not going to get a better game out of Max. He was great.
This is where it comes down to me to Wade and Merrill.
Yes.
Both needing to kind of even go to another level, right?
And Sam had 14 last night. He was okay coming off
that. No, he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but Dean Wade can get hot and knock down some shots.
If
Ty Jerome, if Ty clearly doesn't have it early, well, yank him. I mean, you've reached the point now where you're going to have to do some things. And if that means bringing everybody's favorite, and I understand why, because he plays hard, Craig Porter Jr. Everybody loves that kid.
Yeah.
Well, he's helped you at times this year. And, Tom, so I would think Kenny has to coach the you-know-what out of this game tomorrow night. And, you know, feelings be damned. If, you know, I'm trying to work on Ty's confidence. Yeah, well, what I'm trying to do is get back in the series.
Right.
And so whatever it takes, you got to do.
And what scares me is that this Pacers team, you saw it in games one and two, they smell when blood is in the water.
Oh, man.
And it is clearly there now. So, you know, they're going to come out with an aggressive mindset to step on Cleveland's throat in game three. And that's worrisome, because I don't know how you counter that. And if they get that momentum going at home, it's going to be tough to stop them.
Don't they look unfazed when things don't go well in the game?
Their guys have a certain swag slash character about them that I really like.
They believe in what they're doing.
They totally do, and they know that their system makes other teams uncomfortable, and yeah. I feel like they know that when they unleash that on you and they get you out of your game, they got you.
In game one, and I remembered this specifically because of the 50 shots for Ty and yeah. for Donovan, no Pacer took more than 15 shots in game one. And
look at the balance last night, right?
No Pacer yeah. took more than 17 shots. Yeah. And five guys took double-digit shots.
Yeah.
So they move it. Their starters, all five of them, have scored in double figures in both games.
And I think
that's tough.
And I think we have sorely overlooked Nembhard for a couple of years now. That kid
good
is
young
a
player. Yeah.
God, and he's confident, and he shoots it well, and he drives it well, and he plays defense well. Really unsung player.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I continue to think, guys, the other one is you got to get Miles Turner in foul trouble. I want to see the, you know.
You want to see Thomas Bryant have to play big man?
I want to see Thomas Bryant out there due to the fact that I don't think Thomas Bryant can hang with what the Cavs want to do.
So that's getting Jared Allen the ball, right?
Right.
And making Turner defend him.
And making Turner defend him.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe look to that next evolution. I mean, we've seen in the past Jared Allen's ability to finish over both shoulders. Maybe that's something you got to look into a little bit. And I'm not saying go full-blown New York Knicks, let's slow this thing down to the, you know.
I got you.
To 90s ball. But like every so often, let's dump that in and see how this could work out. And maybe move him into more of a Evan Mobley-type role inside of the offense.
One thing I think that we need to see tomorrow night, on Friday night, I know last game last night, dire circumstances because three key guys were out. And I don't have a problem with Donovan shooting the ball 30 times last night. However, I thought the offense was really stagnant for most of the night. A lot of it was give the ball to Donovan. Yeah. And let him drive to the basket and get fouled. He went to the free throw line 21 times. And it was, please bail us out. Well, you have guys who can hit shots. Tom, you mentioned Dean Wade. You mentioned Sam Merrill. Run the offense a little bit more. I'll understand if you have to play hero ball with Donovan. But it will still help him if you run the offense a little bit more than you ran it last night.
But when you don't have a true point guard out there.
Well, that's where maybe you play Craig Porter.
Well,
and I didn't think that was the plan for last night. But Ty Jerome can play point.
Yeah,
but didn't look very good doing it last night. He had four assists last night.
Right,
and when you're one of 14, you better be doing something else right. And it wasn't necessarily facilitating the offense.
And I know people were screaming about him being on the floor, you know, in the final minute, just because things had obviously gone south much earlier than that. But, you know, when you're Atkinson, you're thinking, okay, I need a ball handler in here. I need somebody that can shoot some free throws. I got to trust my guy. He's been there for me all year. I got to get him some confidence.
Yeah. Because,
you know,
you
knowing
need,
that there's going to be a game three.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need him.
Yeah, so that's a tough one for Kenny. And you know what? And in fairness to Kenny, like, he was the first one that brought that up post game last night that he probably should have gotten, you know, more out of his bench.
One thing that, whether you like the plus-minus stat or not, and anytime I talk plus-minus, we always throw that out as, if you like it, well, last night, and the plus-minus means what happened while you were on the floor. What was the score? Did you outscore the other team? Whatever. Donovan Mitchell had a plus-13. No other Cav was more than a plus-5. That was Dean Wade.
Yeah.
A plus-4 coming off the bench was Javonte Green, who I mentioned yesterday. But Donovan played 36 minutes. In the other 12 minutes, when he was off the floor, the Cavs were outscored by 14 points.
I normally don't put a ton of stock.
I don't either, but Tom, that's
plus
pretty.
But that one jumps out at you. I would agree with you there, Jeff. You know, because you never factor who else is on the floor with you with that plus minus, right? Which is can be a little bit skewed. So, you know, all year we talked to Kenny about, okay, how deep is this rotation? How deep can you go once you get into May? And obviously, you know, he's in a situation now where it's almost desperation. You know, people have mentioned Jalen Tyson. Like, should he get a shot? I mean, dangerous to put a rookie in this situation, but maybe you got to roll the dice a little bit with him. At least give him a couple minutes.
It's almost one of those things where if it's not working the way you've planned, all right, give a guy 3 or 4 minutes. Can you get somebody in there?
Give him an at bat. Give him a swing.
Rises to the occasion.
Yeah.
How do they win it in game 3, folks? How do they win the series? It's Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy today.